Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and her Rhodesian Ridgeback Pack, who is happily helping out and keeping the couch from levitating to the ceiling right now. Well, it's just been a really wonderful, wonderful week. There's just been so much going on, so many events and so many wonderful dogs and clients who've got new leash on life now. What I think the nicest thing and the most fun thing, though, for me is to see the reactions of the people who I get to help every day. And, you know, one day their dog bites somebody and then, you know, their life is over, for so to speak. And then after a 3 or 4 hour class, all of a sudden the people have hope. The dogs are not doing what they used to do. And people have their old dog back, just improved a bit. And I think that's my favorite thing. So let's talk a little bit about how you can change your dog before your dog winds up biting someone, or before your dog makes you so crazy, even crazier than your husband or wife. Well, first thing is we have to remember, and we haven't done this in a while, but I want to talk about nutrition. I want to talk about health. That is so, so important in this type of a situation, because especially now, there's so many good dog foods out there. Well, what kind of dog food should you be using? Well, I know what you shouldn't be using, and let's go through a list of that. There's so many reasons to use a good quality dog food, but what people, I think, don't realize is that all foods are not created equally, and as soon as a multinational corporation takes over and starts buying a company that you never heard of before, suddenly those different companies are trying to make money. They're not interested in your dog. I mean, really? You think they really care? No, they don't. They care about making profits. So you take a dog food that might have been a very good one for quite a while, and suddenly it's taken over by a multinational corporation. And now what they're doing instead is they're giving cheaper ingredients that might be outsourced from places including China, and you guys know how I feel about getting things from China. You know, it's just tough. I'm not going to give you a list of foods, but what I am going to do is give you a list of foods to avoid, different, not brands, but different ingredients that you might come up against. And it's so important because, you know, the old phrase, you are what you eat. Well, you are what you eat eats. So whatever it is that your dog is eating, if he is then eating something that comes from an animal or an ingredient that comes from a place, let's say like China, what you're doing is whatever your dog is eating came from whatever the animal that it's eating ate. Now, I know that sounds like a very big tongue twister, but it's true. So imagine for a minute your dog is eating a dog food that comes from China. Now, let's say, for instance, it's a chicken from China. Now, the chicken is obviously going to look like a chicken. It's going to act like a chicken. But how do you really know what that chicken ate? So unless it's a food that's organic, you don't know what that chicken ate. So let's say that chicken is eating not only antibiotics, but let's say melamine, things like that that have been known to be extremely toxic and were the reason that so many dog foods were recalled, because they were actually putting melamine into the dog food to try to increase the amount of protein that it would test. They don't care if your dog is going to be healthy or not. All they want to do is make more money. So let's talk about that. The ingredients coming from a place where perhaps they're not as careful about things as they are in the United States with the USDA and it's for whatever its failures are and its shortcomings. At least it's a way that we know that the things that we're eating and that our animals are eating are going to be good for them and good for us and healthy. But let's say your dog eats chicken that's made in or processed in or grown in China. Whatever those chickens are eating, whether it's animal food, whether it's corn, whether it's some kind of, you know, gunk that they put in, whatever they can get chickens to eat, All of that stuff that's in there is going to now be in your dog. Well, why does that matter? Because as your dog, especially a puppy, or your dog is maybe an older dog and their immune systems might not be as strong as a mature, healthy adult dog, you end up feeding your dog something that might be causing cancer. Now, you don't know because the food seems to be a good brand and you see it on TV, so it must be good. We know nothing on TV is false and nothing on TV would be, anything that would be untrue in any way, shape, or form. But, of course, because you heard of it and you saw it on TV, right, that as seen on TV, little logo banner, because of that, you may wind up getting a dog food or a toy or whatever it is that's tainted. And because it's not made in America and it's not USDA approved, you really don't know what's in it. That's the problem. So before we even get to ingredients, let's talk about the location. So anything made in China, I will not use for myself or for my dogs. It just won't happen. That's the first thing. Now, where is it okay to get things from? Well, South America for bully sticks and things like that, free range, which is obviously a lot easier in Argentina and the South American areas. If you're in the Caribbean, they get things from New Zealand, but that's okay. But the place you want to stay away from in ingredients is China. Now, India makes great dog bowls. They don't have anything bad in them. However, their leather products are tanned very often with urine. Yes, with urine. I know it sounds gross. Don't know if it's human or not. Really not going to go there on that. When I buy my leather products, I like to get things either made in the U.S. or things made in Great Britain or in Europe because they're tanned with actual things that are not urine. So that's, but the dog bowls are fine to buy in India. China, though, remember, and especially plastics are constantly evolving. The word plastic, which is often a favorite on the SAT that your teenagers get stuck taking to get into college, the word plastic means changeable, malleable, moldable. It's changing all the time. And because plastics tend to have a lot of activity just within the molecules, they're not a good choice for anything that's going to be for humans or for dogs because you're winding up with plastic molecules and vapors that are not really good for you or for your dog. So let's talk about a couple of other things before we take our break. First thing is, if you're getting your dog anything, let's say like a rope toy, try to get the ones that are white. Because some of the ones that are the longer and colorful and shiny, sparkly, are either nylon or mylar. And if your dog does chew through some of those fibers, they can get stuck and lodged in the intestines. And it can actually hamper the peristaltic action, which is what moves the muscle contractions that move things along from the stomach to the colon. So again, try to stick to natural toys and nothing with stuffing because you're teaching your dog something that I don't want your dog to do if you have a dog who might have a behavioral issue. So if you stay tuned, we'll be right back and we'll go through some more things to avoid. Hang on, we'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. It's so great to be talking to you about the things that really matter in this world, your health and your pet's health. So we were talking about squeaky toys, and we were talking about why certain toys are not good for your dog. Well, it's not that they're necessarily going to chew on and ingest the squeaker, although if you have a lab or a golden or a dog like that or a mixture of any of those, they tend to try to eat anything in sight, whether it's edible or not is another issue. And oftentimes what will happen is people will say, oh, well, I restitch it, I put a new squeaker in the toy, and then once this new squeaker is in, he plays with it, and of course he plays with it, and he rips it up, and he pulls the squeaker out, and he shreds all the things that are in it, the little fluffy stuffing in it, and they don't understand what's going on. If you have a dog with a behavioral issue, it may be partially due to the fact that, A, you've got a toy that seems to be remarkably similar to a chipmunk or a squirrel or whatever other animal. So you're teaching your dog to kill things. Now, if you have the best dog in the world, like literally my dogs, I have squeaky toys laying around in my house. They don't play with them. They don't do anything with them. They're gifts from people and things that we've won for winning sweepstakes and puppy things. So, you know, looking at it, we're saying, okay, great, you know, what would the dog do with that in nature? Well, that's teaching your dog to hunt. So your dog grabs the squeaky toy, chomps down on the squeaker, and squeaks it until the little animal that he's playing with dies. That's why it stops squeaking. So naturally, if a dog is thinking it's hunting and it has this squeaky toy, well, once the squeaker stops, and it would mean that the dog or the animal that it was killing has died. So the next thing would be to rip it open and to gut it. So they would then pick it up and either shake it or shred it and pull all the stuffing out. Well, what does the stuffing represent? The dog doesn't say, gee, I'm unstuffing my squeaky toy. He says, geez, this animal's guts taste gross. I'll just keep unstuffing it and pulling it out. And you teach your dog how to kill things. So if you have a dog with a behavioral issue who's got any kind of possessiveness or aggressiveness or extreme dominance, yeah, you probably shouldn't have squeaky toys around the house. You shouldn't have something that's teaching the dog in his language how to hunt. Now, along those lines, you can have other things. It's not that you can't have those items. It's just that if you have a dog with a behavioral issue, you should not have those items around so that your dog thinks that it's hunting. It's common sense. Of course, common sense isn't always that common. Now, along those lines, toys and bones and things that have little pieces that can come off or splinter. Well, think about some of the nylon-type bones that the dog will chew. Now, they're fine. I mean, dogs don't usually get possessive. It's a piece of plastic. But if you've ever really looked and really studied what those the bones look like, they're always missing some pieces of plastic. Well, where do you think those pieces of plastic are? Yeah, they're not on your floor. They're in your dog. Now, instead of the toy just being something he sucks on or chews on, it is now becoming a part of his DNA. Now, of course, most of that will be excreted. But if he gets a good chunk of that, it is possible, not likely, but it is definitely possible, that can become lodged, especially in a smaller dog, if it's a sharp edge, and it could perforate an intestine or hurt the dog. It could also cause problems coming out a little farther down the line. But the goal is for you to have things that are appropriate for your dog to chew on. Now, the same reason I'm not a big fan of these toys that have food in them. Not that I'm not a fan of them for a good, healthy, normal, well-behaved, balanced dog, but if you have a dog who has behavioral issues, you should not have those toys that you put peanut butter or cookies or treats or whatever in, and the dog gets to hunt all day long for his own food without you. That's why we do what we do, and we make sure that when we are giving our dogs dinner, they know that we already hunted, we found it, and we're, you know, waiting until they eat because the leader's eating. I've been preaching this for 20-some-odd years. So it's very important, but remember, when your dog is eating things or when your dog is doing things, it's entirely likely that your dog is the best dog in the world. But how about if your dog is not the best dog in the world and he has behavioral issues or she has behavioral issues? Do you want to give your dog mixed? Well, hopefully you don't want to do that. Hopefully not at all. But what does tend to happen is people will do what people do because they're people. So when people are doing whatever it is that they're doing, if they don't understand why, then they're going to continue to do it. So that's one of the main reasons that you should really make sure that you don't use anything that's got a toy or a treat inside of it where the dog is hunting for it on his own if you have a dog with a behavioral issue. So what toys and treats are okay? Well, bully sticks. If your dog gets protective or territorial about a bully stick, you can actually order them. I get mine from this great guy in New Jersey, but he ships it, and he has great specials. His company is uspetexpress.com. Great guy, Ted. I love him. I just ordered my food and bully sticks and cookies from him today. But uspetexpress.com, what's great about them is everything on the website, other than like three items, has no corn, wheat, and soy, BHA, BHT. We'll go through that list a little later in the show. He also has only two specific brands that I recommend that are not going to smell or stink or stain your carpet, and they're really a great product. Those are great because the dog can bring them back into the back of his mouth. He can chew on them, and it'll get all the tartar and plaque and junk off the back teeth, which are very hard for them to get at with a toy that's large. So if you have, like, a rawhide or something, and you use the ones with the knots, which I do not recommend, the knots, especially if you have a dog who's always hungry, like a lab or a golden, or a puppy who might have nutritional issues, because they'll eat that knot, and that knot can definitely get lodged. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen friends with Goldens or Labs or clients where the dog has gotten those stuck in the back of, you know, in their stomach or in their intestine because it's too big to pass through, and it just explodes and expands in the belly. So that is definitely something that you want to just use, the straight rolled rawhides, not the ones with the knots. And I believe U.S. Pet Express also has those. They have really good quality. Try to get the ones like Ted has at U.S. Pet Express. Try to get those that are made in the USA like he has because, again, any of the rawhides that are kind of that glue color and they're exactly the same, like there's no variation, they look exactly the same, those are all made in China, and God only knows what they use to hold it together because, listen, they don't care about their people. They really don't care about your dog. So, again, nothing made in China. Use the white, straight, rolled rawhides like U.S. Pet Express has and the bully sticks as well that are free range. So stay tuned. We're going to go through some bad ingredients in just a moment. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you were referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Going to be talking about some ingredients now, and this has been a great show so far because this is the stuff I love to talk about, and this is why I love to have my own show, because I don't have to be beholden to anybody who's going to put a product there that I don't like. Now, I will tell you one thing that I can not recommend highly enough, and I'm not going to tell you the brand of food I use, but I will tell you a vitamin supplement that I use that I think is honestly the reason why my dogs, my last three Ridgebacks who passed, were 15, which was my Angel, 15 and a half, which was my Tara, and 16, which was my Sunka. My three female Ridgebacks, and they were all very big, lived to 15, 15 and a half, and 16. I have been using the Nuvet vitamins. I recommend them highly, and I don't recommend many things or many people in this world, but I do recommend them highly. If you have a dog who has issues, if you have a dog who's a counter surfer, if you have a dog who is all over the place grabbing food off the floor, fighting you, sometimes even becoming aggressive over it, grabbing things as you're walking him on his leash, or trying to steal food from the baby or grab the Cheerios from underneath the baby's high chair, your dog may have not just a behavioral issue, but he may have a nutritional deficit. A lot of times, especially if you have a dog who came from a large litter, meaning like 10, 12, 13, anything like that, even if there were only six who lived, but if there were 12 when we started out, that first 24 hours that puppies are born, they've got to get enough colostrum from their mama. That after about 12 hours, after the puppies are born, about 12 hours afterwards, the first puppies, their bellies start to, because they have little tiny pores in their bellies when they're born, and the pores are able to get the fat lipoproteins and lipids that are part of colostrum. Colostrum's a big fat molecule. So as these tiny little pores start to close up, and by about 24 hours after the puppy is born, you see that these pores are just about closed. Well, if the puppy doesn't get enough colostrum that first 24 hours because he didn't nurse, or because there were 13 or 14 puppies in the litter, or because mom had very poor nutrition or prenatal care, didn't have vitamins and all, sometimes these dogs can, when they grow up, have issues that can mask themselves as behavioral issues, but they're really nutritional. So let me explain a little bit more about that, because I know I get into genetics and I get into some of the biology, and people go, hey, Janice, we didn't graduate Columbia in 3 years with 2 degrees and 4 minors like you did. We don't have advanced degrees. Slow down for the rest of us. It's not hard. It makes sense. Anybody who's been around a pregnant woman ever, you know, pregnant women can crave some pretty crazy things. So imagine if your body, you have your calories, okay? So you're eating, you're getting calories, but you're not getting the nutrients that you need. And it doesn't matter, because people who are very heavy set tend to have more nutritional problems than thin people. Because if you're slim and muscular, it means that your body is probably burning off the excess calories and things that it doesn't need. But very often, if you look like the children who are, you know, have distended bellies, they didn't just come back from eating at Denny's. Children with distended bellies, they're bloated, they're gassy, and these kids are starving. Now, they need calories. But think of a pregnant woman. I mean, she's obviously, you know, hopefully, especially in the United States, getting enough of the nutrition she needs. So now, instead of her, let's say she wants a charcoal broiled hamburger, okay, and she's a vegetarian, she never eats meat, but all of a sudden, she needs to have a hamburger. Well, a lot of women like things that have charcoal or carbon or meat because that has a ton of carbon, which is one of the main building blocks that our bodies are more than 90% of carbon, you know, CO2, carbon dioxide, CO, carbon monoxide, you know, hydrocarbons, all these different things. And in our body, carbon is the building block. So there's a ton of carbon that we need. And sometimes when your body is building a baby, you need to have some carbon. Now, another thing that women tend to get big on craving is things that are salty, like pickles, right? The pickles and ice cream joke. Well, pickles have sodium. Sodium and potassium are the basis of how the heart beats and the body's electrical system. Sodium-potassium gate, for those of you in bio or human anatomy and physiology. So it's super important. Well, there's another one, potassium. That can be bananas. A lot of women want banana splits. They need the banana for the potassium. And what do they need the ice cream for? Calcium, string cheese. I've heard all kinds of crazy things. Pizza. Well, pizza is a good bonus because you got carbs, you've got sodium in the sauce, you've got calcium in the cheese, and who knows what else you put in, pickles or pimentos or whatever, or anchovies. So the goal being that a woman can eat, or a person who's dieting, you can eat calories, but if they're not satisfying your craving, and if they're not satisfying what you need and what your body is trying to get you to eat by sending your brain that message to crave a particular item, if you don't get it, your body is going to keep craving it. So if you have a dog who's counter surfing or a dog who's stealing food or becoming aggressive about it, the first thing you should do, and no veterinarians even do this, which I don't even understand why they don't, but none of them seem to get this. If the dog is hungry, if the dog's not getting enough nutrition from what it's eating, and even though it's a commercially prepared dog food and there's all the AFCO standards and all that, you know, hoo-ha, that just means that it's got the calories. But you can grind up a rock and put it into food, and even though the dog can't absorb it, it's still counted as being in there. Well, that's great. That's like having a giant credit limit, and you think you're rich because you got a credit card with a $10,000 or $100,000 credit limit. It's not your money, all right? You still don't have it. It just looks like it's in there. So, of course, when you're dealing with anything with a dog who might have nutritional issues, the first thing you've got to do is put them on a super high-quality food, which we'll talk about next segment, and you should have him on the best vitamin supplement you can find, which I've done tons of research through many, many, many years, and all of my Grand Champion and Champion and Best in Show winning Rhodesian Ridgebacks are all on the NuVet. My clients, I've got thousands of clients who have been using that, and I see that as being one of the most important things in making sure that your dog does not have genuine nutritional issues. Sometimes dogs will eat their own poop, the fancy scientific way of saying that is coprophagia. Well, coprophagia, or poop eating, can also be nutritional in component. So if the dog is hungry and he can't get what he's supposed to have from, you know, eating his dog food, well, what can happen is obviously he may turn to eating his poop. There are other reasons why a female dog might eat poop, and I can explain that another time. But the NuVet vitamins, it's NuVet.com, NuVet.com, NuVet.com. And you can't order it unless you're a breeder or a groomer or whatever, or a vet. So you can use the code 40560. That's our rescue code, 40560. Or just tell them that you heard about it with Merlin's Kids. And they'll let you order. You can also get 15% off on auto ship. I'll talk to you a little bit more about the NuVet vitamins next segment. Hold on, we'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. So we're talking about vitamins, and why do you have to make sure your dog is on a vitamin? Well, you may not be giving him everything he needs. Listen, I will tell you, everyone always says, what kind of food do you use? I use an all-organic, I'm not going to tell you the brand. If you private message me, I'll be happy to do that, but I use a brand that I actually went to the farms, to the plant, to see where it was manufactured, yes, in the middle of America, not too far from Canada, and it is the most amazing food. It's got the great protein. It doesn't have a crazy high protein. My dogs look amazing. Their bellies are great. They don't shed, although Ridgebacks aren't big shedders anyway, but the food keeps them healthy. But even with the best food in the world, I don't know if my dogs are all absorbing everything that they need. How can I know that? So what do? I give them those NuVet vitamins. Like I said, it's NuVet.com, NuVet.com, and you use the order code 40560, and you can also get 15% off by using that order code. And this way you can save money, make sure your dog is getting enough. Little dogs can eat, like if it's under 5 pounds, you can give them like half of one of the little cookies. If the dog is 5 to 50 pounds and it's a healthy dog, you can give them one. Over 50 pounds, I normally give two. Like Wyatt, I give four. If a dog is under any stress, I double it up. They're cheap, though. They're very inexpensive. They're 40 cents each or something. So, listen, I get 24 bottles of these things every 5.5-6 weeks automatically, and it's really, really important because this way, the dogs are able to, have what they need, and they're able to, be healthy and absorb everything that they need. It's all proteinated and chelated, so I know my dogs are absorbing all of the different nutrients that they might not be getting. Now, here's what I do: cook up a little mixture for my dogs. I use organic chicken. I do go to the supermarket and get my dogs organic chicken or organic whatever else I'm using, beef, but usually chicken. And I take that and I put it into a pressure cooker with some organic carrots, organic sweet potatoes or yams, organic spinach, organic parsley, and organic kale sometimes, and I put that all together, and I blast it for 25-30 minutes. And then if it's, obviously a whole chicken, you might have to cook it a little longer, but follow the directions on the pressure cooker, or you can do a crock pot as well. And try to save the broth, because that broth you can use, that's going to have a lot of vitamins and minerals in it. Then sometimes I'll take some extra parsley and just let the parsley kind of cook, without cooking it, and it's great for their breath. You just have to zap it because the dogs can't process that unless it's either heated or blasted really well so that the cell walls are broken down so the dogs can absorb it. So that's pretty much what I do. I give my dogs a few spoonfuls of that and a spoonful, like teaspoon or tablespoonful, depending on the size of the dog, of organic. If it's a young dog, I use whole milk yogurt. If it's an older dog, I would use either fat-free or part skim. But organic is really important with dairy products because otherwise you don't know, obviously what kind of hormones and chemicals are in the milk that they're using to make these products. So we've got all that. Now let's get back to what kind of ingredients should we avoid? Well, the first thing we should avoid is corn. Corn is indigestible even in humans. You ever go to a clam bake? And you know, the next day you say, hey, honey, remember yesterday we had corn on the cob? I'm in the bathroom just thinking of that. Well, obviously, corn in, corn out. It comes out the same way that it went in because corn is indigestible. Now, what does process is the sugars, the corn syrup, the corn sugar. Think about what sweetens soft drinks, corn syrup. Then you have other things like the corn sugar. You have different things, corn gluten meal, which is interesting because corn doesn't have gluten, but it's the fluffier part, I guess, of the kernel. And just think about what you're putting into your dog. The problem with corn also is that corn can burn hot in a dog system. So now the dog, when it's running around, it's going to be more hyper. Well, if you have a young, hyperactive or energetic dog and you don't want him to have a lot of energy, stop feeding him stuff that has sugar in it, because it's not only going to create cancer potentially, because cancer eats sugar, but it's going to make your dog hyper. So when I have a client who tells me, hey, Janice, my dog is so out of control, and I look at the food they're feeding, and it's all corn. Well, of course, it's like feeding your kid candy and cookies and Kool-Aid and all kinds of junk, and then your kid finally gets all hyper, and you tell him to sit down and calm down, and you wonder why he can't. That's no good. Now, the other one, wheat. Wheat is the number one cause of food-related allergies and food-related aggression in dogs because, it causes inflammation the same way the sugar causes inflammation. Wheat, if anybody is celiac, and now we all know about gluten-free, you know that it causes inflammation in the gut. Well, if it causes inflammation in the gut, guess what? It's causing inflammation potentially in the brain. And if it does cause inflammation in the brain, it could cause aggression or anxiety. So we want to get your dog off of all kinds of wheat. That includes pizza crust and bagel crust. I had this one client, her name is Diane, and she's the best. She's got this awesome American Bulldog pity named Cameron. Cameron's awesome. But, her husband kept saying, well, I want to give him pretzels when I'm eating pretzels. So Diane actually went out and bought gluten-free pretzels and substituted them, so now as her husband is eating gluten-free pretzels, Cameron's also eating gluten-free pretzels. So, again, it's a very important concept to make sure that, you're feeding your dog the right things. Now, another thing we want to avoid is soy. Soy causes gas. So in a little dog, soy might cause, a little bit of, he's tooting a little bit, and, you guys blame it on the dog anyway. But he's probably going to get gassy. But in a big dog, like a boxer or a greyhound, a Great Dane, a Ridgeback, any kind of dog that has a very deep, capacious chest but a tinier waist is a potential problem, even a shepherd. Because what happens is the stomach gets all full of air from the bloating, and it's actually called bloat, and it is a surgical emergency, and chances are your dog isn't going to make it unless he's on a table at an emergency, 24-hour emergency hospital right away. It's a scary thing. It's extremely painful, and it's just horrible. So we don't want our dogs to bloat, so no soy. Also, for that same reason, make sure you raise up your food and water bowls about half the height of your dog's legs. Now, if you have a chihuahua or a dachshund, you don't have to worry. But if you've got a dog who's, 35, 40, 50 pounds, 60, 70, 80 pounds, 100 pounds, yes, you should definitely have the water and food bowls raised up a bit. So that's really important. We also are going to go through in the next segment about some other ingredients that you should avoid, and I'll tell you why. Because if you don't know why, then you're not going to do what I ask you to do. I just want to help you and your dog. I don't want you to have a bad relationship, and I don't want your dog to have behavioral issues. So if you stay tuned, we'll be right back, and we'll go through more.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. And you can see from my favorite sponsor, NuVet, which, by the way, I've been using NuVet for probably 13 years, and they are a wonderful, wonderful company. But like I said, you definitely want to consider those vitamins for your dog. Use your code 40560 and tell them that you listen to Janice Wolf on the radio, and you love Merlin's Kids, and you will get a 15% discount if you go on auto ship. So that's a really great thing. We're going to go through some more things. To recap, avoid stuff made in China. Avoid things that you don't know where it came from. If it's not labeled, then it must be for a reason, because if it's made in the U.S. or in a good place, they're going to tell you. Avoid artificial colors, right? In different toys. Avoid toys that have food in them unless you are there. Those you can get in trouble with because your dog might think, if he's got a behavioral issue, might think that he's in charge. Avoid corn, wheat, and soy. Here's the rest of your list, folks. Avoid BHA and BHT. Those are chemical preservatives that extend the shelf life of food for a gazillion years so that your grandchildren's grandchildren can still use that dog food. It still won't be any good, but it won't be spoiled because it's got so many preservatives in it. So corn, wheat, soy, BHA, BHT, byproducts. Byproducts are gross. That's the stuff they can't use for humans. So it's all these parts that you're thinking of. But the worst than that is digest. Animal digest is not only everything from the stomach to the rectum and in between, but it's also the rendered sludge that they can't use for anything. So, for instance, in a cow or in whatever animal, whether it's roadkill or whatever it can be, when it's labeled digest, just imagine they scrape the hair off before they turn it and they tie it into rawhide. And all that hair, well, that's part of it. The fecal matter that's inside, I mean, you can't even imagine how gross digest is. I always joke I have a vision of animal digest and three witches with the big warts on their nose stirring up a pot that's on the bottom of this rendered sludge, and they're with these three in this giant cauldron with three giant spoons. They're going, aha, digest. I mean, it's nasty, folks. It's really nasty. So no digest. And also, we want to make sure we don't use any red dye 40, because that can cause cancer and tumors and behavioral issues. And we want to use things that are healthful for a dog. So we don't want to use things that don't make sense that we wouldn't eat, like propylene glycol, which they're starting to bring back in some of the real cheap drink drops. Propylene glycol, ethylene glycol, and dipropylene glycol is components of antifreeze. So we don't really want to give your dog things that that could be toxic, so why would you want to give it a component of antifreeze? Dogs lick antifreeze because it's a glycol molecule. It's sweet. So why would we want to give our dogs that? It can kill them. So don't give your dog anything with propylene glycol. So now let's talk about pizza crust, bagel crust, Triscuits, whatever cookies you're eating. Make sure that the dog doesn't get any of this, because if your dog has itching and allergies and hot spots, definitely can mean your dog has an allergy, some kind of food allergy. Sometimes it can be a contact dermatitis. Sometimes it can have other issues. But again, the key is making sure your dog is eating healthy, because you are what you eat and your dog is what he eats. So make sure that you're giving your dog the best ingredients possible so that he can live a long, happy, healthy life. And supplement it with the NuVet vitamins. They also do make, somebody just actually shot in an email and asked if it has glucosamine and chondroitin. Yes, it does. The NuVet vitamins does have glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, vitamin C, shark cartilage, oil of evening primrose, and a whole bunch of other amazing things. I've been to their factory twice as well. But if your dog is an older dog or has joint issues or neck issues or back issues, you can definitely get the new joint, which is NuJoint, new joint, which is a much more concentrated glucosamine, chondroitin, and vitamin C, MSM. So it's like I give my Fallon, who is perfectly healthy, but she is 12 years old. So when my dogs hit about 8 years of age, I just throw them on some glucosamine and chondroitin, the new joint from the NuVet company. So if you need it to order, you just go on to NuVet.com. It's 800-474-7044. That's 800-474-7044. And you can even tell them what kind of dog you have, and they do have it for cats as well. But that's a great, great, great supplement. And I've been using it for many, many years, and it is a wonderful, wonderful way to keep your dog nice and healthy and happy. So we do have a quick question, and it is pertaining to nutrition. The person is, I don't know if it's a man or a woman because it's Sam, so it could be Samuel or Samantha. Well, Sam, so very good question. She or he says that they have seen a lot of different foods that are labeled for specific breeds. I won't mention the brand, but there are a couple of brands that do this. And she said, would it be better to use a food that has a picture, let's say, of a Yorkie on it if you have a Yorkie, or a picture of a German Shepherd if you have a German Shepherd? Well, do you think your dog's digestive system knows the difference? No. The key is don't overdose your dog on protein, and don't give too much protein to an older dog, and don't give too much protein to a large breed growing puppy, because you can get something called panosteitis or pano, which makes your dog limp and almost crippled and screaming in pain because the bones are growing at a different rate than the cartilage and the rest of the puppy or large breed puppy is growing. So the best thing to do is to contact your breed club if you do have a dog who's purebred. There are a couple of breeds that do have some nutritional issues, but if you have a good minimum protein, probably 22 to 24%, don't go crazy and go over that, but you want to make sure there are only three breeds I can think of that do have any kind of nutritional issues. But pretty much across the board, wheat is bad, corn is bad, soy is bad, BHA, BHT, propylene glycol, red dye 40, and half a dozen other things, including digest and, of course, the byproducts. So the generalities are make sure your dog is getting what is healthy for him or her, and stop looking at the labeling. Again, if the label has a picture of a dog that looks like yours, you're going to buy it. That is marketing. That's all it is. If you look and you kind of buy with your brain instead of looking with your eyes and going, oh, look, that looks like my dog. It's a special for Maltese. So, you know, if you have a Maltese poo, then you're supposed to give it half Maltese food and half poodle food? I mean, that's kind of crazy. So we're unfortunately going to be running out of time here in a moment. Sam, I hope we answered your question and that you understand that it's more important to look at the label and read the label. And please, people, please, 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 make sure that in this weather, we're starting to get some heat after Memorial Day here, please make sure you don't keep your dog locked up in the car. Even if you have the windows down a crack, it is not enough. Don't take your dog with you if at all possible during the heat of the summer, because you can definitely cause your dog all kinds of heat stroke and potentially death. And make sure that your dog is at home in a nice, cool area with enough nice, cool, fresh water. And also don't feed him right when he comes back from a walk. We don't need him to bloat. Well, unfortunately, we have to go, but thank you so much for sharing our day with us and our time with us, and we'll see you here next week. Have a great week.